Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
welcome, Strange Surroundings of the Universe. I have a great show tonight. She has been a psychic medium for over 20 years, and she's also the author of the new book, Toward the Light. Amy Major, let's bring her on. Good evening, Amy. Hello.
Hello? This is not Amy.
Hey. Hold on. Hello. Good evening, Strange Realms of the Universe.
Hello.
Hey, is this Amy?
This is Amy.
Awesome. I got about four or five guests on the line, and I've asked all of them the same question, so I'm glad I got the right answer.
Sorry about that.
Hey, no. Hey, we're busy tonight. Hey, everybody's looking excited. Got a lot of guests calling in, wanting to talk. Been looking at your book here, Toward the Light, Trapped Souls, Earthbound Ghosts. It's really something that, you know, we talk a lot about ghosts and, you know, the paranormal aspect, but we never ever talk about the rest of it. And it's a lot of things we talked in this book. Please tell me more about yourself, Amy.
Well, my name is Amy Major. I'm a rescue medium. I've been a rescue medium since about 2002. I've been a medium my whole life. I've been developing since the early 2000s in, you know, psychic workshops and mediumship workshops. I was a lead medium in the Psychic Ghostbusters team in Derry, New Hampshire, where we did investigations. And now I'm doing a lot of teaching and a lot of writing. And I'm trying to teach people about spirit rescue and how it differs from regular ghost hunting investigations, because, of course, we mainly work one-on-one with the spirits and helping them cross over and find their way to the other side. And we work mostly with just counseling and you know, clearing away spirit attachments and residual energy from homes. So a lot of work that we do in rescue work. And so right now I'm dedicating my time to teaching and doing shows and writing books. So it's been very busy.
Well, that's very important. That I always believe that we learn from each other. So we're always learning from each other. So that it's really great to be able to share the gift of knowledge. It's very awesome. So Toward the Light, give me a little bit of input on this awesome book I have in front of me.
Well, Toward the Light is pretty much a book that's dedicated to teaching people about spirit rescue, what rescue mediums do, how they help spirits cross over, the teams we work with, the spiritual work we do. It also goes in and explains a lot about what it's like to be a ghost, what they feel, what they experience, where they reside, why they reside there, what the emotions are associated with the reasons why they don't cross over. So, you know, when as a rescue medium, I've touched in with them, I've communicated with them, is being able to see a ghost from their perspective, not just knowing that you have a ghost in your house, but understanding why you have a ghost in your house. Why are they there? What are the emotions that they're going through? What are some of the conflicts? What do they need to resolve? And how do you help them get to the other side? So there's a lot of information in the book as of what spirit rescue is, what an earthbound spirit is, and what you can do to help get them to the other side.
Now, Amy, these earthbound spirits, does what contributes to from your research, what contributes for these spirits to be left behind, so to speak? Is it a very gruesome, violent acts of crime, or is it something else?
Well, there's many different reasons. I always tell people the reason why a spirit has not crossed over is as individual as the person who has made the decision not to cross. And that means there are so many different reasons you have to look at a spirit as an individual and their individual choice to not cross.
Yeah.
There are spirits that are conscious of the fact that they have died, but make the decision not to cross over because they're just not ready to let go of their physical life. They're not ready to let go of the people or material objects that they have in their life. Or sometimes they're afraid. Sometimes they're afraid to go to the other side due to fear of being judged and people to see all the choices and mistakes that they've made, and they're not ready to face that. There are other spirits that have died in very traumatic ways that they actually don't realize that they have died. It's sort of like getting hit on the back of the head, you know, all of a sudden, dazed and confused, and you're hurt. You're not knowing sure exactly what's happened. It's like you see this flash of light, and next thing you know, something's changed, and you don't know exactly what has changed. You just know it is, and you don't know what to do or where to go or who to talk to because some things are just very confusing. So there's many different reasons why spirits don't cross over.
And that's really a great way to put it. And it's all them questions that every day that we try to figure out of who we are, mind and body, and also spirit, and where we're going. And sometimes we're not able to let go. Maybe it's family or maybe our kids. You know, we feel like if we move forward, we're leaving something behind. And, you know, I can, in some way I can relate to, you know, all them things, not the materialistic part, but, you know, your family and making them wanting to stay and maybe not watch over them, so to speak, but stay in that realm and not being able to let go. But it's awesome that you're able to work on methods of helping them cross over. Could you share an example of how you could find, like, how you can tell if there's a spirit and what you can do to help the spirit, do more of the spirit rescue? I want to get to a lot of these our guest questions, too.
Well, it all depends on whether the spirit comes to me or I go to the spirit. I have most of the bulk of the work that I do is when spirits find me because I resonated a vibration that they're comfortable with, and it's sort of like a beacon out to them. It calls to them to let them know that I do this type of work, and so they're attracted to my vibration. So spirits will come to me and they'll talk with me, or sometimes they'll just stand around me and watch what I do until they're comfortable enough to make that decision on their own. When I'm called into a place where someone feels that their place is haunted, I will first, you know, decide, well, residual energy, is this an earthbound spirit? Is this a spirit that's already crossed coming in just to say hi? Or is this a negative entity? There's many different levels of vibration and spirit communication that I need to get into to find out what am I dealing with. If I go in and I find out, okay, this is an earthbound spirit, I'll usually go and I'll merge with their energy, and he and I will communicate in a way that helps them counsel them through their emotional conflict and help try to resolve whatever issues they have. Sometimes they just need someone to talk to. So when they need to just come on and communicate with them and help them understand what's happened, sometimes they just need to be pointed in the right direction because they're lost. Many times I'll call in spiritual helpers. I'll call in their family or friends or guides or angels on the other side, and they'll come in. And they'll be the ones that actually guide the spirit to the other side. I'm sort of just sort of like the helper, or, you know, the liaison between the spirit and, exactly, the, you know, the liaison between the spirit and their spiritual friends on the other side. So I don't actually cross the spirit over. I'll point them in the right direction. I can't force the spirit to go, but I can try to help them make that decision on their own.
Okay, now, this is going to be important. You've got so much gadgets and apps, especially these, you know, these different apps like Echo Box and different, I don't want to do a bunch of names, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. What tools, do you believe in any of that stuff, or do you go by a different method, or just take me through a little bit of your...
Well, rescue mediums don't really use those type of tools. There are spirit tools that investigators or, you know, ghost hunters use. Ghost boxes, EVPs, you know, red lights, infrared cameras, a lot of technical tools that they use to create a physical source of proof that the spirit is there. A rescue medium or a regular medium, we won't need those tools. We use ourselves as a tool to know if the spirit is there and to communicate with them. We don't need to prove anything physically.
Yeah,
the spirit's
true.
Doing
that's
that themselves, because we're not here to say, okay, you've got a ghost here. The people already know that. But we're the ones that come in and do the counseling to help them resolve their issues, to help them find their way to the other side.
So
the only tools I think we would use are like crystals and salt and things for, like,
oh,
we use protection tools.
That's what I was going to say. Like maybe dowsing rods and crystals and pendulums and stuff like that of that nature. And then now when if you feel a spirit that's amongst you, do you feel the cold energy, or do you feel like maybe start getting goosebumps, or that like just kind of like this flushed feeling? Or
it can, depending on the spirit. I mean, a lot of people do feel the cold or the goosebumps or the hair rising on the back of your neck. That is, they're really picking up on the electromagnetic energy that the spirit's giving off. They're also picking up that the spirit energy is actually cold. They don't have the physical body, which emanates heat. So they don't have that heat source anymore. So they're going to feel a little colder at times. But what I feel is I just feel their vibration. It's much different than just walking into a room. There's, you know, you can see in the corner of the room, it feels very heavy. You might even see like a shadow, or you might see a figure, or you might see the light sort of dim. There's many different things, visual, auditory, physical vibration feelings. There's many different ways that you could pick up on a spirit depending on how they're trying to connect to you and how they're trying to communicate with you. You may see a full body apparition. You may see orbs. You may see flashes of light. You may feel sick to the stomach. You may hear bells or somebody calling your name. It all depends on that individual as a spirit. And I like to always say individual because that's what they are. They're still a person. They may have left their body, but they're still a spirit connected to everybody else. And even though they may have a lot of emotional baggage that makes them very heavy, they're still a divine essence connected to God and connected to everybody else. So I treat them as an individual when I come in and I rescue.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned all the different signs of communication. What about knocking? Because I feel like one time there was an instance where I felt like I was connecting with the spirit through knocking. Like, and I was family is like old Irish, and there's a lot of stuff that they were talking about, table tipping and knocking spirits and stuff like that. So it was really, I wonder if you've ever had anything similar to that.
And you said non-human communication?
Yeah.
Or, well, because we have, you know, I do table tipping. I actually teach table tipping. It's very much a part of the spiritualist religion that I'm connected to. There's also the red light seance that I do as well. But spirits have been known to move things around quite a bit. Levitation of objects, you know, psychokinesis. It's all around. Spirit really wants to try to communicate with you. They're going to make their presence known, you know, flashing lights, You might feel a gust of air, you know, different physical ways for them to get in touch with you. You know, I do table tipping, and I teach that in a positive way. I raise the vibration. I set up the protection, and the spirits will actually communicate through the table by tipping it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm Irish, too. So it's very much part of the heritage and spiritual connection that I have with spirits. So they'll come in one way or another, whether they want to communicate or not.
Well, you know, it's and you know, it's all really interesting stuff. I mean, it's, and I'm very, it's a very refreshing to see, you hear a lot of books about the entities and stuff and what they are made up of and what, you know, what they do, but being able to cross over and help them do that, that's really important. We got like three kids calling in. Let's see who's got a great question tonight. Welcome to Strange Realms to Your Universe. Do you got a question for Amy?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had two questions for Amy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Just very briefly, my wife and I are looking at our first home, and are there things that we can look out for to see if the home has a spirit in it as we're trying to decide what home to purchase?
Well, I want to tell you, most homes, especially if they're over the, you know, over 30 years old, they're going to mm-hmm. contain what I call residual energy. Residual
okay.
energy is sort of an imprint left behind after people have been there and after objects and events have occurred. Usually
okay.
if the more a negative event occurs, usually is a heavier residual energy left behind. So any old home that you walk into, you're immediately going to feel a heaviness, or you're going to
okay.
feel like, oh, maybe there's a spirit here, because what you're doing is you're actually picking up on all the residual energy left behind in the house. Ways that you can tell there really is a spirit presence there is, one, does it try to communicate with you in any way? Does it move anything around? Because residual energy can't move things. It doesn't have an intelligence behind it. It's just pure energy left behind. Ghosts are an intelligence source. They're trying to communicate with you. So when you walk into a place at first, most of the time if you do have a spirit presence there, they're going to hide. They're going to sort of sit around and wait and see what type of person you are first. Always pay attention to the way that you feel when you're in a place. Do you feel
okay.
positive, or do you feel negative? Do you feel scared or harassed or threatened in any way? And if you do feel that, I would say there probably is an earthbound spirit there, or possibly a negative entity there as well. So think about it. Do you feel heavy or
okay.
scared? Or do you feel threatened? So you have to pay attention to the way that you feel. If you just walk into a place and it feels really old and there's a lot of few smells in the house, there are many different ways that you can clear out all that residual energy in the home that give you a better idea whether this place is haunted or not. I can tell you most homes are not haunted, because most ghost and spirit activity actually reside outside of homes. The only time they'll ever find a home is if they're comfortable there, if the home reminds them of the home they once lived in, or it possibly was the house that they lived in, they just weren't ready to leave. So, and most of the time, those are not negative hauntings anyway. So you probably don't have anything to worry about.
Interesting. Thank you. The other question I had is there a way to tell if my father passed over? Because I could see him staying because my stepmom is sick and wants to be there for her. But at the same time, he was in a lot of pain when he was on this physical plane. So I could also see him pass over. Is there any way to tell that?
The only way to really tell is to communicate with him and also sense on his vibration. If he did stick around, and it's usually probably did, but just for a short time. Like if someone's left behind and they're sick, a lot of spirits will stay around and stick behind just for a small period of time just to make sure everyone's okay. But after a while, they will eventually cross on their own because they understand that's where they're supposed to go. Only when they stick for a long period of time is only because they're lost and haven't quite figured out where to go. Most spirits are not earthbound. I would say maybe 5 to 10% of people who have died are earthbound.
Really?
And when I say earthbound, that means they've been earthbound longer than 3 to 6 months. Because if you think about it, most people that die, they usually stick around for a little bit of time first just to say goodbye to people, just to see, you know, do a quick review of their life, and just to say goodbye to everything, their physical lives. They'll cross over, and then they'll come back from time to time just to say, hi, how you doing? I miss you, and I'm around. Most of the time, you're not going to pick up on that because it's so light and so mm-hmm. loving. Most people don't pick up on that type of energy. And the most mm-hmm. type of energy people pick up on is that heavy, dense, right-in-your-face type of energy where an earthbound spirit is near. You'll know when there's an earthbound spirit in your house. You'll feel them like they're almost standing right next to you. So when you kind of have those images or feelings that your dad might be near, it's probably because he's not earthbound. He's on the other side just coming in to say hi. If you have any sort of doubt whether he's earthbound or not, just say a prayer to him. Say, you know what, Dad, I understand you might be here, but I'd really love it if you can, you know, find your way to the other side. I really care about you. I really know that you need to be with family and friends on the other side. You know, you can come back and visit us whenever you want, but I care about you. I care about your well-being. And invite his family, his guides, his angels on the other side through prayer, and I'll ask them to help cross him over and help him find his way to the other side. So if there's any doubt at all, just say a prayer and send your loving thoughts to him.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Two great questions. Thank you, sir, and have a great night. We have one more caller. Let's see. So, well, thank you for calling Strange Surroundings for the Universe. Do you have a question for Amy?
Yes. Hi, Amy.
Hello.
My question is, I've done some of this work that you're talking about, and I really couldn't explain it, but I have helped, I think I helped my brother cross over, but I was in a dream state, and I met with him the night that he passed. And I was in the dream state, and the next morning when I woke up, I got a phone call that he had passed. But that night, I was talking with him, and I guess I had astral traveled to where he was, my soul, my spirit. And I had my two birds that had passed, and I opened up the door, and I let them free. I just couldn't explain what had happened, and was that sort of like helping him to pass over?
Well, yes and no. What it is that was such a wonderful experience that you had with him.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure if you knew that he was getting ready to die or not, but quite often when they're starting to make their transition, they'll touch in and go and visit family and friends before they go. I get the feeling this is his way of saying goodbye to you and communicating and connecting in with you on his way through his transition. And often they'll do that through a dream or like a memory. And it often feels like, oh, I'm just dreaming. This really isn't real. But you know what? It is real because they communicate to you through your thoughts, your memory, your emotions on a mental state. And where do you do that mental state? You do it mostly through dreams. You know, daydreams, that's all mental. And that's how they come through and communicate with you. So, of course, it was real. It's absolutely real. And I do feel that with him coming in and with you helping him along, helping him saying, you really need to go, you know, and helping him to the other side. Yes, you did, because you got him to realize he didn't need to hold on and that he was able to cross over. So you were very supportive with him and helping him with that. And, you know, and releasing of the birds is sort of like, a metaphor for releasing his soul from his body and saying, now you're free, now you're ready to go. And just know, birds do come back. They all come back. They all come in to say, you know, I'm still with you. I'm okay. And, you know, it's kind of just giving him his wings and telling him it's okay to fly. So what you did was wonderful. It's a great experience. So don't ever doubt yourself. Everybody has the ability to do this, whether a medium or not. We all have that connection to each other, especially when they're family and friends. So I think that was wonderful that you did.
Thank you. And there's a house that I lived in, and I was starting to feel like there was a spirit there, but it was a brand-new house. And from time to time, well, I felt that a spirit in there, and the spirit had touched on a fan, and I heard the noise. And then when I moved out of the house, like even now, I will astral travel at night in dreams, and I will go back to that house looking for whatever spirit is in that house, because there's a family that lives there with a little girl, and I was concerned that, you know, about that little girl. And so my spirit will travel there at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get that protective energy, especially when it comes to children.
Yes.
So, again, if you feel like there is a spirit presence there that's in need of help, you know, when you go and you ask to travel, try to connect in with them and try to help counsel her. Try to help get her to understand that, you know, she needs to connect with her angels and her guides, because their angels and guides stand by them all the time. They never leave their side. It's just the ghosts and spirits' awareness of them that changes. So you need to get them to be more aware that there's spiritual help next to them to help guide them to the other side. So it's wonderful that you're going in and you have that astral travel ability. I did too. I had it all throughout my childhood. Didn't know what the heck was going on. And, you know, all my parents knew was I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, mentally,
yeah.
I was somewhere else. And it's just kind of like that free-floating feeling and just sort of escaping and going somewhere else mentally. So if you do have that ability to do that, use it to your advantage. Use it to help spirits find their way. And sometimes all it does is take a prayer to say, you know what, I'm here with you, and I'll always be here with you whenever you need me.
Yeah, well, I go to that house, and I purposely went over there to tell the spirit that it needed to move on and not to bother the little girl if
mm-hmm.
it was still there. And I haven't had any dreams lately about that house, but wow, I was going back to that house over and over again looking for that spirit.
Well, also, that might be the chance that the spirit was calling to you as well.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
call in many different ways. They'll kind of feel like a pull or an attraction, or kind of feel like they're on your mind a lot. That's also their way of connecting to you. And
yeah.
calling to you as well. So,
well, that spirit
here,
in the house
really
is very nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. Most spirits are nice. Most spirits usually are just looking for some sort of resolution. So, you know, absolutely. If you're not feeling that pull to go there any longer, most likely the spirit's crossed over.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, I was not afraid of that spirit, and I he actually used to, I think he liked me, and he used to remind me of some of my favorite shows coming on television.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a relationship with him. I'm serious. And I started, at first I was afraid because I heard that tapping noise, and then he started doing nice things for me in the house. But I just didn't want him to scare the little girl that lived
right.
into that house. So I went back there and went looking for him in my astral body.
Very
it's
good.
A weird situation.
Well, keep up with it, you know. Let you know, you'll understand what to do. It's a natural process, so don't hinder it. Keep doing it and allow your guides to help you develop. Just connecting with them, and they'll show you the right way.
Thank
That's
you.
It. And I also wanted to say that, you know, we're always learning from each other. So if you're ever in doubt, you know, there's plenty. Follow your intuition first, and your but also do some research and stuff like that. And because we're always, you know, we always doubt ourselves because we don't, because we've been conditioned that we can't do something. So when we break that cycle, then when all this information comes in, it's like an information overload, and you just, you know, and it's hard to process it. But that's the first sign of being able to truly think for yourself. And I appreciate you calling tonight. And
thank you.
I wish you have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amy, we're on a roll tonight, giving great advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. A lot of people have some great questions, you know, and that's what I'm here for. Whenever anybody has a question, I'm definitely here to try to explain things in a way that people can understand. Because we're here, we're in the physical world. It's not always easy to understand things on a spiritual perspective. So what I do is I take things and I sort of bring it down to a logical sense in a physical way so people can relate it to things that are going on in their life, and it seems to work very well. People have a better understanding of things. Like, oh, maybe this isn't as weird as I thought it was, or maybe this really is more common than I thought it was, and people are now starting to understand a little bit more, which is making them more open.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's definitely something to believe in, and, you know, great. You know, great information in this book, and being able to share that gift with others, and teaching people to share that gift with others. That's so important, Amy, and I appreciate you coming on tonight. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but I definitely want to bring you back on the show sometime soon.
Oh, absolutely. It was wonderful being here. You have a great show. And if anybody has any questions for me, they can contact me through my website, amymajor.com, or they can find me on Facebook, Amy Major Rescue Medium. And, of course, there's a lot of good information in my book, Towards the Light. And, again, ask me any questions you have. That's what I'm here for.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you for joining me tonight. And have a good one, Amy. Thank you so much.
You too. Good night. Bye-bye.
Rescuing the spirit from the dead and trapped souls to go to beyond what we don't haven't experienced yet. Until next week on Strange Surroundings, Secret Universe.
Early one morning, past the St. James Hospital, early one morning, morning the month of May. When I looked through the window and espied a dear cowboy, a dear cowboy as cold as the clay. Sit ye down by me and hear my sad story. Sit ye down by me and sing me a song. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy that knowed it done wrong. Send for that doctor to come and heal up my body. And send for the preacher to come and pray for my soul. For my poor head is aching and my sad heart is breaking. I'm a poor cowboy and hell is my doom. Yet 16 pretty maiden to come and carry my coffin. 16 pretty maidens to come and sing me a song and tell them to bring some of them sweet smelling roses so they can't smell me as they tote me along.